And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also watch and listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you by The Law Group, and make sure you visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. or give them a call at 910-251-6088. We'll have more from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Well, there's been a pretty significant development in a story that you've got to go back almost a decade to get back into. That was the Trump-Russia collusion hoax that popped up magically after Trump won the presidential election, beating Hillary Clinton in November of 2016. And before we get into this new report from DNI and these allegations being made by Tulsi Gabbard, let's just set the stage as to why this situation unfolded the way that it did. Democrats in 2015 and through parts of 2016 did not take Donald Trump seriously. They thought he was a buffoon. They thought he was a fool. There was not a snowball's chance in hell that he could ever win. So they anointed Hillary Clinton, who lost to Obama in the 2008 primary, to be their candidate, even though she's an incredibly unlikable figure. Her political track record as a Secretary of State was less than stellar under the Obama administration. But the way that it worked, and I guess it's pretty accurate to say still does, in high-level Democrat circles, is she was the next man up, right? It was her turn. It was her opportunity to give it a crack at running for president. She, you know, this storied political career, of course, her husband being the president, all of his controversies back in the 90s, but it was her chance. It was her time. It was her shot. So they put Hillary Clinton forward. She's an incredibly unlikable, very unpopular candidate, and the Democrats didn't take Trump seriously. They thought he was a fool. They thought his supporters were fools, that he just was not serious, and there was really no chance he could win. And you know, I know it's hard because it was literally, in some cases, a decade ago that these conversations were taking place. But you go back, and I try and put myself, you know, back in 2015, 2016. I remember the media coverage. I remember the discussion about how, you know, CNN and MSNBC, I mean, they were laughing at the fact that Donald Trump would not only become the RNC nominee, but would have any chance at winning the presidency. He then goes into the RNC convention, is very successful in that, is able to beat out, I believe, Ted Cruz was the second highest vote getter, but was able to get and secure all of the delegates that he needed. And lo and behold, after Milwaukee, or Cleveland, I guess, he is the 2016 RNC candidate for president. And still, even with that, Democrats, at least publicly, and now behind the scenes, the story may have been a little bit different, but publicly, it was still a big joke to them. Ah, this guy, Donald Trump, he's a clown. He's got no shot. He's got no chance at becoming the president. He's not a serious candidate. And that was obvious in how the Democrats played out their campaign strategy. Hillary Clinton didn't talk about anything that she planned on doing. She didn't campaign or run on any of the things she was going to do for America, any of the things she was going to do as the leader of the free world. She just spent the whole time trying to make fun and dunk on president, or at the time, candidate Donald Trump. And that was their campaign strategy. That's what the DNC, Donna Brazile campaign questions, the campaign debate questions, they just didn't take it seriously. Up until the final probably 6 or 8 weeks of the campaign, Democrats still thought it was a big joke. And even up until Election Day, I might make the argument that many Democrats thought it was a joke that Donald Trump could be the president. They refused to take it seriously. Then, of course, election night 2016 rolls around. We get into the late hours of Tuesday night, the wee hours of Wednesday morning. And what happens? John Podesta comes out on the stage and tells all of his supporters, all of Hillary's supporters, there's still a lot of votes to count. Go home and get a good night's rest. We're going to make sure every vote counts. Meanwhile, Donald Trump comes out to an unbelievable crowd and announces that he has won, that Hillary Clinton is going to concede, and he will be the 45th president of the United States. This is November of 2016. And I set all of that up and I lay all of that out because it's an important part of this story. The Democrats did not take Trump seriously. They did not take the American people seriously. They thought they could just shoo in one of their acolyte candidates, in the case of Hillary Clinton, with her, you know, her professional and political career, so on and so forth, and she was just going to win because that's how the Democrats operate. They're incredibly arrogant, snooty, snarky individuals. That's their candidate. That's who the American people are going to elect. It didn't work out for them. Trump hit a vein with the American people. Trump struck a chord with voters in saying things and doing things that had never been done in modern politics. Won over the hearts and minds of the American people, defeated Hillary Clinton, and became the president. And so then, after that was said and done, this was in early November, well, then Democrats had to start scrambling because they had lost. I mean, they didn't think that was going to happen. There was, again, no way in hell that Donald Trump could win. So now, November, whatever day it was, 4th, 5th, whatever, I don't remember what election day was in 2016, that rolls around, they've lost, and now they're sitting there, and they don't know what to do. Like, oh my God, we just lost. The script, we have the script in front of us, the script says we were supposed to win. The script, I'm looking at it right here, says Hillary Clinton is supposed to be the president. What the hell happened? Donald Trump won. So now that Trump has won and is the president-elect, now Democrats behind the scenes have to work to try and discredit the president. Now they have to work on some sort of plan to muddy the waters and try and leave the Trump administration, or at least, you know, as the Trump administration comes in, they need to have a black eye. There needs to be something wrong with this administration. It's not the fact that we put forth a terrible candidate in Hillary Clinton and lost. It's not the fact that we Democrats didn't run a campaign on any substantial issues at all. We just tried making fun of Trump and calling his voters, you know, 40 plus million people, half of, or 70 plus, but 40% of them or 40 of a million of them, a basket of deplorables. And you're this, you're that, you're a scumbag. If you vote for this guy, you hate America. None of that was their fault at all. So now we have to work to discredit Trump. And so you're very familiar with the Russia collusion hoax, which took up a significant amount of time and a significant amount of real estate and space in the early years of the first Trump administration. As, of course, the mainstream media and the Democrats, one and the same, of course, spent months and years talking about how the only way that Donald Trump won in 2016 was that he colluded with Vladimir Putin, colluded with Russia on the DNC email leak, and that's how he won. He colluded with a foreign entity to win. Because for them, that's a way for them to admonish any of their failures, right? Because Democrats don't self-reflect. We've learned this over the last 10 years. We've seen it time and time again. They are incapable of looking at why something happens and saying, maybe we're the problem. They're completely incapable of doing that. So they had to shift and push the blame somewhere else. And for whatever the reason is, they decided that they were going to concoct and craft this narrative that Donald Trump had colluded with a foreign government to become president. Now, if that was true, that would, of course, be an insane story. If at the time, the president-elect had colluded with a foreign entity to rise to power in the United States, that would be the largest political story that has ever happened in U.S. history. That a foreign entity helped essentially install a president of the United States. And I say all of that to lay out what a serious accusation something like that is. This is not just a passing, I colluded with a foreign government, now I'm president. No, it's an incredibly serious accusation that was made. And that's what Democrats decided to do. So on Friday, Tulsi Gabbard, who is the director of national intelligence, DNI is the entity that she is responsible for, declassified about 100 pages of documents that showed that the Obama administration ignored guidance from both the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, and the National Security Agency, the NSA, on Trump-Russia collusion, and took a narrative that did not exist and turned it into something that, to the Democrats' credit, was a significant hurdle, was a significant roadblock for the first Trump administration, because he was constantly having to defend himself over whether he colluded with a foreign entity to become the president of the United States. It was a major stain on his administration, and I might argue that it caused a lot of controversy and caused a lot of things not to get done, because so much energy was focused on dealing with this narrative of, were you actually elected president legitimacy, or did somebody help you get to this position? Now, of course, later down the road, we would get the Mueller report. We would find out that not only was there no collusion with the Russian government at all, the Russian influence on the election was nothing more than maybe $15,000 or $25,000 being spent on Facebook advertising from a Russian troll farm. As somehow that equated to tens of millions of votes is, of course, a completely absurd and incredibly stupid. So going through the details released on Friday, the FBI and the National Security Agency, the NSA, in the heat of the 2016 election, dissented from an intelligence community assessment which judged that Russia was behind the alleged hack of the Democratic National Committee servers and the subsequent release of stolen emails. You'll remember the all of the discussion on Hillary Clinton's emails, emails from the DNC, Donna Brazile, and other folks. The FBI and NSA had, quote, low confidence. This is directly in one of the reports from Tulsi Gabbard that she declassified. The FBI and NSA had low confidence in the attribution to Russia, according to a September the 12th, 2016 intelligence community assessment released publicly for the first time on Friday. This was as part of a batch of records declassified by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. And I want to read you directly from the report, September 12, 2016, right? We're 2 months, less than 2 months ahead of the election. The FBI and NSA, this is a direct quote, FBI and NSA, however, have low confidence in the attribution of the data leaks to Russia. They agree that the disclosure appears consistent with what we might expect from Russian influence activities, but note that we lack sufficient technical details to correlate the information posted online to Russian state-sponsored actors. A memo prepared at the time for President Barack Obama, dated just 2 days later, September the 14th, 2016, after the assessment, blamed Russia for the hack and leak and does not mention the low confidence report from the FBI and NSA, according to those newly released documents. The revelation is the latest twist in a decades-long controversy which lies at the very root of the now discredited Russia collusion narrative, which ensnared the Trump administration in 2017 and morphed into a special counsel investigation by Robert Mueller. Mueller would conclude the investigation a year later with no evidence to support the claim at all that Russia colluded with then-candidate Donald Trump to influence the election. So you've got a report from the FBI and the NSA that says there's incredibly low confidence. And when you look at reporting from intelligence agencies, low confidence is as low as it gets. They're saying there's no evidence to back this up. The only thing that we've got is this looks like it fits a similar pattern to what we would expect from Russian state-sponsored meddling or things of that nature. But we've got no evidence that actually says, or no digital footprints, nothing that actually links Russia to the release of these DNC emails and the so-called Russia collusion hoax. There's no evidence to back that up. The U.S. taxpayer was spent tens of millions of dollars during the Mueller investigation to prove that once again. Yet somebody in the Obama administration, could have been Obama himself, put forth this memo that blamed Russia for the hack and tied Donald Trump to Russia collusion. Even though intelligence communities, which we're told we're supposed to believe no matter what, said they had little to no confidence that that was actually the case. And that's what's so incredibly damning about this whole thing. Tulsi Gabbard was on Fox News' Hannity on Friday talking about this as this news broke. This is her back and forth with Sean Hannity on the whole situation. Take a listen.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sean. This is such an important issue, and I just want to start by saying that this is an issue that is important to every single one of us as Americans. This is not a partisan issue. It has to do with the integrity and the strength of our democratic republic. And it lays out this over 100 documents that you're referencing that I released, declassified and released, spells out in great detail exactly what happens when you have some of the most powerful people in our country directly leading at the helm, President Obama and his senior most national security cabinet, James Comey, John Brennan, James Clapper, and Susan Rice and others, essentially making a very intentional decision to create this manufactured, politicized piece of intelligence with the objective of subverting the will of the American people, who in November of 2016 delivered a historic victory to President Trump, defeating Hillary Clinton. And President Obama and his team, their goal was to essentially not accept the decision of the American people, and to use this manufactured, politicized intelligence as a means to enact what would become essentially a years-long coup against President Trump. You have gone into great detail over these years of what the effects of this document and this decision have resulted in. Obviously, a years-long Mueller investigation that cost taxpayers almost $40 million, two congressional impeachments, endless smears and attacks against not only President Trump, but his family. He had senior members of his team who were investigated, some arrested and jailed. We had heightened and increased tensions between the United States and Russia. The list goes on and on about the consequences of President Obama and his senior cabinet members politicizing intelligence once again, and I say these words very clearly, to enact what was essentially a years-long coup subverting the will of the American people in that election in November. Now, you referenced this this president's daily brief document.
So there's a little bit of Tulsi Gabbard, the head of DNI, on Sean Hannity's show on Friday, and she lays out perfectly the entire situation. And of course, the irony in all of this is that it is the Democrat Party that is currently the ones that run around and yell about destroying democracy, right? It's the current Democrat Party that claims that Republicans and Trump, they are a bunch of election deniers. They don't want to accept the results of an election. Yet circa 2016, because their crowned candidate in Hillary Clinton got her ass handed to her by Donald Trump in the most unprecedented fashion possible, right? Because they didn't take him seriously at all. It was them that not only wanted to discredit the elections, not only wanted to make it seem like Donald Trump was not legitimate, went as far as to purposefully lie and mislead the American people to believe that Donald Trump was somehow installed into the presidency by a foreign entity, which, as I already noted, would be an incredibly serious claim and an incredibly serious accusation if it were true. Now, of course, we would learn years later, like many of these stories, that not only was it not true, there was nothing to base this on whatsoever. Interesting comment coming in on our Rumble live chat this morning. As a boomer, Russia had been our lifelong number one enemy. So picking Russia / the USSR as the country in the hoax was a logistical choice in 2016. it's an interesting concept, and it absolutely makes a lot of sense. And as Tulsi Gabbard just mentioned there at the end of this clip, I've got another one from her. You know, this did a great deal of harm to the United States-Russia relationship, as for years, Democrats were screaming from the rooftops that the Russian government interfered with the 2016 presidential election, that they installed President Donald Trump into the Oval Office. Don't think that that doesn't have an incredible amount of influence and an incredible effect on the United States' relationship with a foreign country. But for Barack Obama and his senior leadership, they just didn't care. Back to the story, the hacking of the DNC was central to the collusion narrative. The FBI's report having low confidence that Russia was behind the breach is significant because the Bureau had received 3 weeks prior to dissenting with the assessment, the final report on the hack by CrowdStrike, the private cybersecurity firm hired by the Democratic National Committee to remediate the hack in the spring of 2016. The CrowdStrike report had never been made public. The company's then president, Sean Henry, told the House Intelligence Committee in late 2017 that his firm, quote, had no evidence that files were stolen from the DNC system. Whoops. That never made it out publicly. On October the 7th, 2016, less than a month after the assessment marked by the FBI and NSA as low confidence, the United States publicly accused Russia of hacking the DNC and leaking files with the intent to, quote, interfere with the U.S. election process, end quote. Obama approved the release of the statement, which was made in public via a joint release by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence and the Department of the Homeland Security. October the 7th, 2016, one of the most eventful days in the 2016 presidential election cycle, was the day of the release of the Access Hollywood recordings of Trump. It was also the day of the release of the first batch of emails from former Obama counselor John Podesta. On October the 7th of the same year, 2016, it was also a time when the FBI was still working to obtain a copy of the DNC server images to conduct a forensic analysis. It is unclear if the FBI had changed its low-confident assessment before the release of a public statement officially accusing Russia. The newly released documents showed that by December 7, 2016, 2 months after accusing Russia of hacking the DNC, the U.S. intelligence community was still relying on the CrowdStrike analysis for its assessment. And again, important to note, the CrowdStrike assessment said there was no evidence, direct quote, no evidence that any files were stolen from the DNC. No files at all. A memo drafted in preparation for a committee meeting reads as follows. The United States intelligence community has high confidence in its attribution of the intrusion into the Democrat National Committee and the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee networks based on forensic evidence identified by private security firms and the IC's review and understanding of cyber activities by the Russian government. At the time of the drafting of the memo, the intelligence community had still not reached a consensus on who leaked the DNC emails. The same memo states that most of the intelligence agencies assessed with moderate confidence that Russian services probably orchestrated at least one of the disclosures of some of the political information. A day later, on December the 8th, 2016, the FBI renewed its dissent with another assessment, reading as follows. The FBI will be drafting a dissent this afternoon. Please remove our seal and annotation of co-authorship, states an FBI email to a group preparing the presidential daily briefing for Obama. Obama requested the preparation of the brief to be ready for release on December 9th, 2016. This is now a month after the election. Trump is less than 45 days away from being inaugurated. An hour after the FBI expressed its intention to dissent from the assessment, an email from a DNI official to more than 110 intelligence community recipients said that the presidential briefing would be postponed. That email reads, "Based on some new guidance, we are going to push back the publication of the PDB. It will not run tomorrow, and it will not likely run until next week." While the briefing memo was postponed, the principal committee's meeting took place as scheduled in the Situation Room at the White House on December the 9th, 2016. In attendance were the heads of key Obama administration agencies, including National Security Advisor Susan Rice, Secretary of State John Curry, Attorney General Loretta Lynch, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Jen Johnson, and CIA Director John Brennan, amongst others. Notably absent from the meeting were the directors of the two dissenting agencies, FBI Director James Comey and NSA Director Michael Rogers. Instead, attending for the FBI was Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, and for the NSA, Deputy Director Richard Ledgett, according to a summary of conclusions of that meeting. The conclusion of the memo from the principal committee meeting outlined a list of recommended punitive measures against Russia. The list concludes with a set of bullet points stating that the principals in the meeting agreed to, quote, publicly release and attribute to Russian intelligence services technical and other information about the hacking of the DNC and DCCC and spear phishing campaigns. That directive, set to be actioned by December the 19th, appears to have resulted in a joint analysis report by the FBI and DHS released to the public just a few days before Christmas on December the 29th, 2016. This technical review included a mapping of cyber intrusions, a sample snippet of code, and a set of IP addresses used by the hackers. WordFence, a cybersecurity firm with millions of clients, analyzed the code snippet and tracked it back to a malware provider based in Ukraine. WordFence CEO Mark Maunder wrote an analysis of the report, quote, "The IP addresses that DHS provided may have been used for an attack by a state actor like Russia, but they don't appear to provide any association with the Russians. They are probably used by a wide range of other malicious actors, especially the 15% of IP addresses that are Tor exit nodes." He continued by saying the malware sample is old, widely used, and appears to be Ukrainian. It has no apparent relationship with Russian intelligence and would be an indicator of compromises of any website. Wow. So, and I actually got some experience with this product called WordFence. It's a very popular security plugin used on WordPress, which is the most popular CMS content management system that is used in the world currently, from Fortune 500 companies to websites like mine, nickcraig.com. And so I'm very familiar with this product. They handle security and deal with intrusions into websites. And the fact that they say, hey, there doesn't appear to be any association with Russia at all. These IP addresses and malware snippets would be standard with a variety of potential hacking groups. Absolutely nothing tying it to Russia. Of course, that did not fit the narrative that was trying to be painted by the Democrats, by the DNC, and by the media. As at this point in time, we're in late December, we're like 20 some odd days away from President-elect Donald Trump to be President Donald Trump. In the days and weeks after the meeting, emails showed officials preparing an intelligence community assessment on Russian interference in the 2016 election. Obama ordered the assessment to be ready by January the 9th, 2017, and later moved that deadline all the way up to January the 3rd. The working plan was to brief Obama and then President-elect Trump on the assessment on January the 3rd and 4th, brief the Gang of Eight and intelligence communities in Congress on January 4th through 6th, and release a version of the assessment to the public on January the 6th, 2017, the same day that Congress was to convene and certify Trump's election. One of the fruits of those efforts, a version of the intelligence community assessment dated January the 5th, states that the FBI now had high confidence that Russian President Vladimir Putin had ordered a campaign to meddle with the 2016 election in favor of Trump, and that Russian intelligence services hacked the DNC and stolen the leaked emails. But there is no evidence in the report whatsoever to back up how the FBI went from low confidence in its assessment less than 2 months before to high confidence. In the years that followed, the FBI's work on the investigation into Trump was heavily scrutinized by the House Intelligence Committee, the Senate Intelligence Committee, and the Office of the General Inspector General and Special Counsel John Durham. To date, all of the public findings from these investigations included no further evidence for the assertion that Russia was behind the theft and the release of DNC emails. Instead, the inquiries by House Intelligence Committee, Inspector General Michael Horowitz, and John Durham determined that the evidence core of the FBI's probe consisted of a now debunked reports by former British intelligence officer, who, by the way, was hired by the DNC, Christopher Steele. Steele was retained by Fusion GPS, which was in turn retained by the Clinton campaign through Perkins Coie, the same law firm that recommended that the DNC hire CrowdStrike to handle the cyber intrusions. While the FBI was ultimately unable to verify any of the Steele reporting, the Steele dossier, it played a central role in the Bureau's decision to secure surveillance warrants to monitor Carter Page, a Trump campaign associate. An inspector general inquiries into the Bureau's work on securing the warrants found significant failures among the rank and file and supervisors installed. So all of this playing out is nothing that you and I didn't already know. You and I knew damn well from day one that Russia collusion was nothing more than a hoax. We knew and continue to know that there's no evidence, was no evidence, and it was completely preposterous to wrap your head around the idea that Russia would actually want President Trump to be in the Oval Office. He was incredibly tough with Russia in his first term, and he's been incredibly tough going forward. All of this has been garbage and BS since day one. But that did not stop the Obama administration. That did not stop what is now aptly named the Deep State. These three-letter agencies, DNI, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, these three-letter intelligence agencies, from continuing to run with completely unverified claims. Nothing more than a report from Christopher Steele, who, again, Hillary Clinton and the DNC had paid to produce the report. That was seemingly the ground floor, all of the basis for their reporting. No actual intelligence, no actual assessments pointing to Russia having anything to do with the hack and then subsequent leak of the DNC emails that became a critical portion of the 2016 presidential election. We have known this for literally almost a decade. You and I and the vast majority of folks on the right, we've known that there was nothing in here. But that did not stop James Comey. That did not stop Democrats on Capitol Hill. That did not stop Obama and Hillary Clinton and that ilk from in the years after 2017, Trump's already in office, 2018, from continuing to peddle a completely discredited conspiracy theory, because that's what it was, peddling a completely disproven conspiracy theory, all because they lost. All because they could not wrap their head around why the American people rejected Hillary Clinton and decided to vote for Donald Trump. Democrats were unwilling to accept that then, and lo and behold, just look at November of last year. Trump versus Harris. It's the same thing. Unwilling to accept the results of the election and unwilling to inward reflect in any meaningful way to determine how we lost once again. There is a lot of discussion and a lot of controversy going in online over this over the last couple of days. You've got President Donald Trump commenting on this on Truth Social, discussions of Obama's role in this, potential criminal prosecution for what can only be described as one of the most nefarious political cover-ups in all time. I mean, this is potentially playing out to be an incredibly tricky and tough situation for the Democrats to deal with. Tulsi Gabbard was on Fox News yesterday morning, Sunday Morning Futures, with Maria Bartiromo. I want to play some of that interview. It was very insightful. Maria's a phenomenal interview and always gets great guests. So I want to jump into those details. We'll do that coming up here in just a few minutes. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the Law Group right here in Wilmington. For over 20 years, since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating a real estate transaction, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved promptly as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088. Or you can visit their great website online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or visit their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. More from Tulsi Gabbard, the head of the director of the National Intelligence Group, coming up in just a few minutes as the Nick Craig Show rolls on, streaming live on a Monday morning, YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for spending some time with us, either live or via podcast this morning. Don't forget that you can get access to a bonus content, including our daily show notes and our Patreon hangout. That'll be coming up next week by visiting patreon.com/Nick Craig. You can subscribe $5, $10 a month if you believe that you are getting some value from the show. You can support the program that way, get access to our daily show notes and more. It's available over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. We've got a great group on there and can't thank them enough for their continued support and allowing me to do this show each and every weekday morning. patreon.com/Nick Craig. Got some folks checking in this morning on our YouTube live stream. Gilbert is checking in from Knoxville, Tennessee. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. Some other commentary, a Rasmussen Report survey from 2022. 47% of likely U.S. voters believed that it was likely Russian interference that changed the outcome of the 2016 election, with 26% saying that it was very likely. And so this is what's so interesting about being a Republican and a conservative, right? These conspiracy theories, which is exactly what they are, pop up, like the so-called Russia collusion. You and I have known since 2017, or maybe the late days of 2016, that it was completely and totally fabricated. We have known, if you've been following conservative media, if you've been reading into this since day one, you were well aware that there was never any evidence to back this thing up. But that did not stop Congress. That did not stop the mainstream media, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS. It did not stop any of these networks from continuing to push the narrative that Donald Trump had colluded with a foreign entity to get elected. And it's the same story every time. What do we find out 5, 7, 10 years down the road? That what we knew early on was exactly the case. And that the public narrative, the public story, was complete and total bull. There was no evidence to back it up. But the frustrating part in all of it is it takes 5 or 10 years for these things to play out. Look at COVID-19. stand 6 feet away, get a vaccine. If you go out and get vaccinated, you don't have to worry about catching the disease. You're completely safe. You won't have any problems. What do we find out 3-4 years down the road? There's no evidence to back that up. It was never based in any truth. They just made 6 feet up. They made up a whole bunch of the public safety precedents and standards that needed to be followed. You and I were saying that at the time. We were deleted from Facebook. We were kicked off of Twitter. We were blackballed from public for having these opinions. And then lo and behold, what do we find out? What we thought was exactly the case. What we were told was being completely misrepresented, and it was a complete and total sham. And in this case, you're looking at a major conspiracy that unfolded during the Obama administration to try and damage the incoming president of the United States, who was set to be Donald Trump. But that didn't stop the Democrats at all. So Tulsi Gabbard was on with Maria Bartiromo on Fox News yesterday morning. More on this DNI report, these 100 documents that she declassified. Let's take a listen to a couple minutes of this.
For being here this morning.
Good morning, Maria. Thank you.
What was the most damning thing that you learned after looking through all of these declassified documents?
Maria, the implications of this are frankly nothing short of historic. Over 100 documents that we released on Friday really detail and provide evidence of how this treasonous conspiracy was directed by President Obama just weeks before he was due to leave office, after President Trump had already gotten elected. This is not a Democrat or Republican issue. This is an issue that is so serious it should concern every single American, because it has to do with the integrity of our democratic republic. What we saw occur here, as the documents we released detailed, was that we had a sitting president of the United States and his cabinet and leadership team, quite frankly, who were not happy with the fact that President Trump had won the election, that the American people had chosen Donald J. Trump to be the next president and commander-in-chief of the United States. And so they decided that they would do everything possible to try to undermine his ability to do what voters tasked President Trump to do. So creating this piece of manufactured intelligence that claims that Russia had helped Donald Trump get elected contradicted every other assessment that had been made previously in the months leading up to the election that said exactly the opposite, that Russia neither had the intent nor the capability to try to quote unquote hack the United States election for the presidency of the United States. So the effect of what President Obama and his senior national security team did was subvert the will of the American people, undermining our democratic republic, and enacting what would be essentially a years-long coup against President Trump, who was duly elected by the American people.
Yeah. Now, I want to go back to something Devin Nunes said, which is exactly what you're saying right now. And he said, after all of our investigation, we found that there was no intelligence. There was no intelligence actually indicating that Trump colluded with Russia. And what happened? Because there was a presidential daily briefing that was presented to President Obama every day. And every day it said the same thing. We have no evidence of collusion. We have no evidence that Russia did this with Donald Trump. So what happened? How did they actually get the public to believe, and half the public believed, that actually Trump did collude?
Well, this is the thing, Maria, when you look at the assessments that were made, not just by one element of the intelligence community, but in my role as the Director of National Intelligence, I oversee 18 different intelligence community elements. And in the months leading up to the November 2016 election, the intelligence community agreed that there was no intelligence that reflected that Russia was trying to hack the election in favor of either candidate. The evidence showed, the intelligence showed, that again, Russia did not have either the intent nor the capability to be able to impact the outcome of the United States election. So it was very striking when we look back again at the documents that I declassified and released that shows there was a shift in early December, the first week of December, again, another document was produced by the Intelligence Committee, a president's daily brief that was consistent with every other assessment that was done previously leading up to the election. Russia was not, did not, this is after the election now, did not attempt to affect the outcome of the American election. That was never published. Hours before it would have gone into President Obama's president's daily brief, it was pulled by a senior level intelligence official saying that they had to pull it because they had received new guidance.
Of course they received new guidance. Of course. And as Tulsi Gabbard just laid out, Democrats could not wrap their head around the concept that they lost to Donald Trump. They could not fathom the idea that their queen in Hillary Clinton, the incredibly unlikable, terrible candidate that she is, they could not fathom that the American people said, we don't like you. We're rejecting everything that you stand for, and we're going to vote for this other guy in Donald Trump. That they had to manufacture something to justify. They had to manufacture something to make it seem like Trump was an illegitimate president. And again, it is important to remind you that this is the same Democrat Party that is screaming to this day about no kings. We're going to host a protest in every major U.S. city back a couple of months ago, and we're fighting it. We don't want kings. No kings in America. This is the same Democratic Party that completely manufactured an intelligence report, that completely manufactured collusion between a what I would describe as a hostile foreign government in Russia and then the president-elect of the United States. So the next time that you have to listen to some stupid Democrat bitching and complaining about democracy this and threat to democracy and kings and authoritarian, look them straight in the face and call them out for the hypocrites that they are. They are so worried about our so-called democracy, yet they will manufacture intelligence reports to justify their own failures. They will manufacture Trump-Russian collusion because they have no other way to claim, well, we lost. Can't just say, hey, we got beat. Our candidate was no good. Our ideas sucked. The American people rejected it. They can't say that. So they have to point the finger at someone else. Democrats are incapable of accepting responsibility for anything. Anything. They can't accept it. So they always have to try and find a scapegoat, somebody to point the finger at, and somebody to blame for their own shortcomings. It's a tale as old as time. And in this case, you had what can only be described as an incredible conspiracy at the highest levels of the Democrat Party going all the way to then president, who was a Democrat, Barack Obama. Think about that next time you listen and have to bear some Democrat talking to you about protecting democracy and we got to save democracy. We got to save this. And Trump's an authoritarian. Trump's a dictator. He's never going to leave. He's going to seize power in the United States. Give me a freaking break.
The very next day, this meeting was called, a National Security Council meeting, bring all together all of the senior leaders of President Obama's cabinet. And the topic that was put forward was a sensitive matter. The tasks that came out of that meeting was coming from President Obama directing the intelligence community, then Obama's ODNI director Clapper, to produce an intelligence assessment that detailed not if, but how Moscow affected the outcome of the election that had already occurred, electing Donald Trump to the presidency. This document that they published in January of 2017 was the foundational groundwork that they continued to reference over and over and over again to enact this years-long coup against President Trump.
Now, I know that Devin Nunes came out with the Nunes Report and a lot of other reports after that to indicate everything that you're saying. And I guess the worst of the worst of the reports, the real evidence, is the reports of most recent, right? The last reports are the worst reports that we're going to see. And I understand that there is more, perhaps, that you are going to come out with next week. And I was told that that's why they raided Mar-a-Lago. that they wanted to find the Trump-Russia documents that indicated there was absolutely no collusion and that there was no evidence to even start such an investigation. But Trump didn't have it there in Mar-a-Lago, but that's why they raided his house in 2022. Is that correct?
I don't have the details on the specifics of the Mar-a-Lago raid itself. Those are within the possession of the FBI. But there's no question in my mind that this intelligence community assessment that President Obama ordered be published, which contained a manufactured intelligence document. It's worse than even politicization of intelligence. It was manufactured intelligence that sought to achieve President Obama and his team's objective, which was undermining President Trump's presidency and subverting the will of the American people. So yes, next week we will be releasing more detailed information about how exactly this took place and the extent to which this information was sought to be hidden from the American people, hidden from officials who would be in a position to do something about it. And that's really the point here that I think is most important, Maria, and you said it in your opening. Accountability is essential for the future of our country, for the American people to have any sense of trust in the integrity of our democratic republic. Accountability, action, prosecution, indictments for those who are responsible for trying to steal our democracy is essential for us to make sure that this never happens to our country again.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So, of course, she's referring to next week. This was an interview on Sunday that aired with Maria Bartiromo. So that's presumably going to be this week, getting some more information out of Tulsi Gabbard, the head of the director of DNI. And what do you even say? We all knew this was the case. Anybody on the right knew that this whole Russia collusion thing was a complete and total scam and hoax from day one, that there was never any evidence to back it up. Yet you had, for years into the first term of Trump in 2017, 2018, this was the story. Anything that Trump did, it was not legitimized because, of course, he was installed by Moscow. He was installed by Vladimir Putin and the Russians who wanted him in the Oval Office. That was it. That was the narrative. That was the story for years and years and years and years. And we find out that it was complete and total nonsense. We knew it, but now it is backed up by evidence. Unfortunately, we can't go back and change it. The damage was already done. And obviously the Obama administration, the DNC and Hillary Clinton didn't care, because they would do anything in their power to retain authority. They attempted to dissuade the president's administration. They tried to impeach him over this. And all for what? Because Obama directed it to happen? The former president of the United States directed his intelligence agencies to make up a report out of thin air to prove this completely batshit crazy theory that Trump had colluded with a foreign entity to win? That's what we've got? Many people need to go to jail over this. You know, the left is all about accountability and holding people responsible. Oh, we support the rule of law and criminals need to be held responsible, right? They love throwing that at the right anytime that they have an opportunity. Let's see if they see what they think about that now. They believe that Barack Obama himself, the former president of the United States, should be held criminally responsible for this? My guess is they probably don't. And a very interesting point there by Maria Bartiromo, which I had not heard before this interview yesterday, that part of the reason for the Mar-a-Lago raid was to find these reports that showed that these intelligence reports were completely manufactured. They were looking for some of that paperwork, looking for some of that documentation, but were unable to find it. I had not heard that theory before. Maria Bartiromo is very well plugged in. She has got incredible sources deep on the inside of government. And so when she says that, hey, you know, this is kind of the crux of the Mar-a-Lago raid, I put some significant truth behind that, and it's going to be interesting to see that as Tulsi Gabbard, who, by the way, used to be a Democrat, if Tulsi Gabbard, as she continues to release information, as more stuff continues to come out from DNI, that we see, you know, really what went on here, and more information backing up the lack of information, the lack of facts behind the whole Trump-Russia collusion situation. Some commentary coming in on our Rumble live chat this morning. No surprise here. Some of us have known all along regarding Obama and Hillary Clinton's plan on Russian hoax. This country will only benefit if all are arrested for treason. We all did know. And, you know, the left wants to scream about accountability. Unlike them, I'm not a hypocrite. I actually do believe in accountability, regardless of political party. And so we'll see if as these DNI reports come out, you would imagine that Congress is probably going to maybe try and dig into some of this more, and we'll potentially see what some of these details are. But man, this is a brutal situation for the Obama administration. This is a damning story for the Democrats, the same individuals that love to scream about protecting democracy and this, that, and the other. Are the single-handedly the ones that are trying to destroy so-called democracy and the will of the people at every single turn. Because the reality is very simple. They don't care about democracy. They care about power. They care about being in control and having authority. And they will go to whatever ends necessary to hold on to that power, regardless of whether it's completely fabricated or it's completely true. They will do whatever they need to do to hold power. They've been unsuccessful in doing that. They lost in 2016. Trump whipped the Democrats in November of last year. And now all of this information is coming out. Unfortunately, it's a day late and a dollar short. And I hope people go to jail over what this report shows, these documents being released by DNI. This is a major, major political scandal, a major, major political story, and I hope it doesn't die on the grapevine. I hope this continues to be brought up. You can imagine this news came out Friday, so the president, he's of course been on Truth Social over the weekend, but he hasn't really been out publicly. You would imagine that throughout the next couple of days or so, as he is out and about and he's chatting with the press, that he will be asked about this report. He will opine on some of the details. It's going to be a very interesting situation to watch. So we'll likely hear from President Trump. It potentially could be as soon as today, but we'll keep an eye on that. And as soon as he comments on this, we'll bring you those details right here on the Nick Craig Show. Once again, thanks to The Law Group for their continued support. You can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning on The Nick Craig Show, whether you join us live on YouTube, Rumble, and X, 7 a.m. each and every weekday morning or 24/7 via our podcast. We're back tomorrow morning right here on The Nick Craig Show.